It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, who's running the show for us here today. Welcome to the show, everybody. We got a lot to talk about today. What a pretty good, I thought we had a pretty good show yesterday talking about the how much sprint car racing pays over the course of the year. And Austin O'Neill did a little research for us last night, and we're going to talk about some of the better paying sprint car, 410 sprint car races of the year. We're going to kind of go over that a little bit here a little bit later and talk about that here on the show. Austin, how you doing, my friend? You doing all right, buddy? How's your day going?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. You're so full of energy. You know, has anybody ever told you you're kind of a laid-back guy? Anybody ever said that to you? You're just a little bit laid-back, aren't you, bud?
I guess so.
Huh? Your dad used to say that you were shy when you were a kid. Were you shy when you were a kid?
No, that's true. That's very true.
Your dad said that
microphones weren't my friend back then.
Right. Well, all of a sudden now microphones are your friend.
Yeah. Good job.
How about
that? You did a good job breaking the barrier.
Breaking the mold there a little bit. Yeah. So, so did you watch that race Super Series race last night at Belleville on the quarter-mile track?
I did.
What did you think?
I hate to say it was a quarter-mile race, but it was.
I'm going to say, I think the racing was better.
No, I mean, we called it yesterday that it would be.
Yeah.
You know, and the track was in better condition. You know, it's a little easier to prep a smaller track. Not especially with it being hot and windy out in, you know, middle of the western Kansas. It's
right.
You know, that big of a facility as Belleville is, I mean, it'll get out of your hand really, really fast. But no, I mean, it was a good race. Clanton, you know, kind of called a shot. He said he had the best car, you know, after the heat race, and said the best car would win. And I mean, he was right. So
and he did win.
I was kind of surprised to see. I mean, you know, Clanton's pretty good, don't get me wrong, but I was kind of surprised to see him pick up the 40,000. But it was good to see somebody else kind of win. Not that, you know, Davenport's a bad guy at all, but just see somebody different, you know.
I thought Chris Madden might have a chance there at the end. Didn't you think for a second?
No, I think it was pretty much just between him and Davenport. You know, they were getting through traffic, you know, pretty good. And they, you know,
well, Davenport did run third, by the way.
And, he did.
And Chris Madden runs second. And he did kind of close the gap a little bit there at the end of the race.
I must have missed something.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I thought he did. But did you hear Jonathan Davenport, who we have continually tried to get on this show, just so you know? We have reached out to Jonathan Davenport. We've left him voicemails. We've left him text messages. We've done everything we can try to get Jonathan Davenport on the show. We haven't got a response from him. We're going to continue to hound him like a hound dog until he comes on the show. So we hope that Jonathan Davenport will come on the show here before too much longer. We'd like to talk to the Million Dollar Man. But did you hear Jonathan when they asked him about racing on versus the little track versus the big track? He said that he wished they were still on the big track. Did you hear him say that?
I did, and I'll agree with him. I think a lot of other people are in agreement too.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the quarter mile track was a little bit better racing, to be honest with you. I mean, all we saw on the big track the night before was everybody just fall in line and run as fast as they can, and there wasn't much passing going on, right? So here's the question to the people that are out there listening right now. Would you rather watch the late models on the quarter mile at Belleville, or would you rather watch them on the big track at Belleville? This is the question to the listeners out there. Can anybody give me their thoughts on that? What would you say, Austin, in the future, what would you do? Would you run the late models on the big track or on the little track? What's your preference? Hold on. Before I phrase this question to you, in a sense that, you know, we did see a tire blow up on one of those late models and completely almost took off the rear deck of that car and the quarter panel. And when they blow out and they're running those speeds, there's going to be a lot of damage to the car. Me personally, you're not going to like what I'm going to say. Don't even go there. Are you buying into that, Austin? Don't even go there if you're not going to run on the big track.
Yeah, I mean, when like I said yesterday, what do you think of when I say Belleville? Belleville High Banks and the half mile,
right?
A quarter mile is irrelevant, really. So I mean, if you're not going to race on the half mile and you can't provide us good racing and can ensure, you know, drivers that'll be a safe race and a competitive race, then no go. I mean, you're just wasting your time and wasting drivers' money and equipment.
Yeah. We want to welcome everybody to the show that's chiming in. Tammy, we want to give her a shout-out. Ladies first here on Mostly Motorsports. So Tammy's listening. Marvin's checking in. David, Paul, Austin, Caleb, we got our regulars hanging out with us. David, thank you for checking in. Tammy said, good afternoon, racing boys. Had a good time last night watching the USAC sprint cars at Grandview Speedway. Brady Bacon has that place figured out, doesn't he? He really does. Didn't he win four in a row there at one time? I think he did.
Yeah, that's what they said on the broadcast.
Yeah. So, and she also chimed in, said, big track, I like speed, although small tracks produce door-to-door racing. Well, if you're a sheet metal person, they're door-to-door. But I think most of us here are open-wheel fans, right? Is that, am I accurate on that?
You are.
Most of our listeners are, besides Lloyd Collins, the quarter mile, if it was a lane wider and a little more banking, I would agree with that.
Right.
It needed to be a little wider because they were really, you could only run two wide there. We did see a couple times when they went three wide.
It was tight three wide, though.
A very tight three wide. But I think that track needs to be just a little bit bigger. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, because I mapped it out on Google Earth last night, and like the lane off the top at the quarter mile was just a tick under a quarter mile. It was like 0.2324, but around the tires on the inside, it was 0.2. So I mean, right as a fifth mile. So I mean, that place it's like racing at the Dome, but just outdoors. And it was. I mean, if we could make it just a little bit wider, it'd be even better racing.
Yeah. Well, again, and we're talking about races, and we're going to talk about that in one of our segments today, about how much, and in fact, we'll talk about Steve Post about this, about some of the races that really pay good. There is a lot of really high-paying 410 races out there. I didn't realize there was that many. Did you?
I kind of knew that there was a good amount. I just didn't realize, you know, kind of where they were, who they were sanctioned by. There's we thought there'd be a lot less, but there's actually a decent turnout of big paying races.
You know, the one thing that stands out to me on this sheet, and we'll go over this sheet here in a little bit with everybody, the World Finals at Charlotte Motor Speedway at the end of the year, they only pay $15,000 to win.
Yeah,
if it's called the World Finals, shouldn't it pay more than that?
It's $15,000 for the prelim nights, and on Saturday it pays $25,000.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Oh, I've just got it here on the two nights. It says it pays $15,000. So that's $15,000 on the prelim nights.
We'll go up to the $25,000 bracket and see where it says World Finals at.
Oh, okay. I got you. I got you. Oh, I see. Yeah, World Finals, $25,000 to win. Oh, I see what you did. You put this in financial.
Yeah,
$175,000 to win the King Royal at Eldora. That's $175,000. Knoxville Nationals pays $150,000 to win. High Bank Nationals, World of Outlaws, Husits, $100,000 to win. Jim Raper, Dirt Cup up at Skagit pays $50,000 to win. So there's a lot of good races that pay good money here, and we're kind of go over them with Steve Post here in a little bit. But last night, I think that I'm gonna let them off the hook a little bit. I'm gonna say they made the right call running the late models on the little track, and then on top of that, I'm gonna say that I don't think they really had a choice. I think with the issues with the tires that they were having, if a tire blows apart, it's going to tear up your car tremendously, right?
Well, I mean, when you got sheet metal laying around you, it will. I mean, that's
It's late model racing.
I know.
It's not sprint car racing.
I mean, you'll blow a tire at a quarter mile and do the same thing. So it's just, you know, maybe it's time when, you know, let's say we want to go back to Bristol or Belleville or tracks of that size.
Right.
Does the Touring Series or does Hoosier, when Hoosier can get their tire situation figured out, make a special tire for big tracks that are harder and don't have the chance of blistering or coming apart?
Yeah.
So we can race these big tracks that are historic.
Yeah. C-Bell picks up the win at Sharon last was that at Sharon? That wasn't at Sharon.
It was Sharon.
It was Sharon.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me about that race last night. It looked there for a minute. It looked like Brady was going to have a little bit of a challenge for that race, but he only lost the lead for like a second, didn't he?
Now you're talking about USAC.
Danner, he took the.
So you started talking about the All-Stars, and he went right to USAC.
Hold on to this. Oh, gosh, I went to Brady Bacon. I went to Grandview and Brady Bacon, right? Christopher Bell picks up the 6,000 at Sharon last night. You thought Peck was a little faster, right?
Yeah, I mean, after watching the race again this morning.
Man, I just jumped all over the place right there like a rabbit. Man.
Calm down.
Gosh. But I get a little excited once in a while.
I guess so.
Yeah.
No, I thought once Peck, you know, got clear of traffic, and he got by Cy Lynch and Danny Dietrich, that he had a shot to run down Bell. And when Bell got to lap traffic, you heard Blake Anderson say he had about an 8/10 to a second lead over Peck, and then within a lap or two, Peck knocked it down to half a second to 4/10. So, you know, you definitely showed that the lap traffic was affecting Bell and allowing Peck to get close, and then they had a yellow come out, and it kind of just reset the field of clean air. And, you know, I think if they had an issue with traffic again, that Peck could have got by him. But, you know, after that restart, you know, Bell fired off good and was just able to kind of maintain his lead. And maybe Peck stuff didn't fire back off, and that was kind of the reason why he kind of stagnated to second. But, no, I mean, I think
his tire could have sealed over a little bit, maybe.
It could have. But, I mean, it was your best two cars were Bell and Peck, in my opinion.
Cy Lynch, he was pretty strong there at the beginning of the race, but he kind of faded a little bit there.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see Cy start that good. You know, Cy doesn't really get out from like Leonardville, you know, area, and to see him come run with the All-Stars and have success is pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Zeb Weiss, we were supposed to have on Wayne Purdy yesterday, and they did a motor change, and it looked like that motor change worked out pretty good for him. He got a fourth place finish last night.
Yeah, I wonder what they found wrong. I saw a post on Zeb's Twitter page a couple days ago that they had a valve spring issue, and Zeb's old car owner, Sam McGee, when he drove for him when he first made his switch into wing sprint car racing in 2020, was working on their valve spring issue and helped him out. So maybe a valve spring issue again with Zeb's team, not sure, but definitely a good call to change engines and not a bad result, you know.
You think, Buddy, just the lack of him running in a 410 wing sprint car, he hasn't done it that much this year, right?
No.
Do you think that that's what's hindering him? Because he ran fifth last night. I thought he'd do a little bit better than that.
I mean, I think a fifth place is like a win to Buddy right now. Like you said, he doesn't race wing cars a whole lot.
Right.
You know, he's with a kind of a newer team, not just newer owners. I mean, he has Bernie on with the backing on it. So I think, you know, Bernie's he's a pretty good crew chief. So, I mean, I just think that it's just seat time and getting the laps in and getting, you know, kind of acclimated with your team will show over time. But, no, I mean, he... with, let's see, 13 to go, he restarted in fourth. So, I mean, not a bad night for Buddy, in my opinion.
No, not too bad, really. Are you a little surprised that Tyler Courtney didn't run any better. And he started 11th last night. He ran 12th.
Well, he blew a tire on lap.
Oh, that's true.
He with did like 13 or 14 to go.
And he had to go get in and change the tire. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I was kind of thinking about this when I watched the highlights again this year. I mean, you know, he hasn't won in a while, and he's just had average luck. I mean, he blew a tire and finished 12th after starting 11th. And, you know, is he in contention, or is he capable of backing up his championship again? I mean, he's, you know, we're still early in the season. We're only in June. Season goes all the way to October/November. So, I mean, they have a lot of time to figure it out. But, I mean, right now I would be kind of concerned that he can go back-to-back.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I had that in my notes right here, that Tyler Courtney blew a right rear tire. And that baby it destroyed as well. And that was his seventh All-Star win for Christopher Bell. That makes the fifth different winner in the last five races. How about that?
It was good to see C. Bell win again. Like I was telling you when we kind of walked in, you didn't know, but you know, I follow Swindell Speed Labs videos on Facebook and YouTube, you know, weekly. And, you know, since about the midpoint of last year, Kevin's had awful luck. I mean, just, you know, gear stripping out last year, driveline issues, power steering issues, motor issues into this year where they had an issue with the car coming out of gear in practice at Wayne County the night before. They were having issues at Lawrenceburg with, you know, engine issues. They had an issue with the driveline falling out at Lincoln.
And that has nothing to do with it because that's all brand new equipment,
it
right?
is. And right. It's just, you know, you just get on those bad luck streaks, or you have, you know, new equipment, but it's just not made to spec, and it's just faulty. And it's just, all you can say is bad luck for Kevin and C. Bell. And, you know, it was good to have to see them win. I know it's a big confidence booster to that team, and hopefully they can, you know, kind of put that bad look off to the side and keep the ball rolling.
Unfortunately, it only paid $6,000 to win last night. Every race this week, except for the final race, pays $6,000. Isn't that right?
I believe so.
I think that's the case. Yeah. So, anyway, it was good to see C. Bell get back into victory lane. And, you know, I've got to admit it, that I pull for C. Bell in the Cup Series about every week. I'm always rooting for him to get up there and pull off a win. I think that he's got the talent to do it. It's just a matter of, I'm not sure that his team is ready to do it, right?
Yeah, I mean,
would you agree with that a little bit?
I would have to.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he showed last year that he can win. I mean, he won at the Roval, not the Roval, but the road course at Daytona.
The first race.
Yeah, second race.
The second race.
They went. They ran the 500, then they came back the next week.
Oh, then
and
they ran the
Roval.
Yeah.
That's right. And I mean, then he has plenty of good runs last year. It's just you know, new car. Probably, I think they moved some team members around. Steve probably could answer that for us. So I mean, it's just, you know, trying to get everybody to start working together again and figure out this new car.
Yeah. I got to give a little bit of a shout out to Kyle Burke, who won on the quarter mile with the Malvern Bank late model series that ran at Belleville last night. Again, they only had about 12 cars. And the previous winner the night before, Jake O'Neill, he ran last.
Ouch.
Yeah. He got in a wreck, tore his car up. But Kyle Burke's been around doing this a long, long time, man. I mean, There was one time on the air about 20 years ago when I said on the air that I thought Kyle Burke was running traction control. And he wasn't all too happy with me for saying that. And in fact, we had him on the show and we had a little debate about that. And it was pretty interesting, but that was, shoot, that had to be 20 years ago. That had to be right when Kirk started with me back in the day. He was racing at Adrian Speedway. He won the race. His car was spitting and missing and popping and crackling up the whole time that he was running. And I don't know. I just said it. But he's a hell of a race car driver, and he ends up picking up the win last night up at Belleville with Joe Kosiski's class. So, all right. Well, why don't we take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to have Steve Post join us here on the show. The postman's going to join us. We didn't have him on last week because he was up in an airplane. So we're looking forward to talking to Steve this week again. We'll talk to him about how much money is in sprint car racing versus late model racing. We'll talk about that and more with Steve Post when we come back with Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. Joining us now on the show is a brother of the Racing Boys, Steve Post. The Postman joins us now. How you doing, Steve?
I am well, Scott. Good to catch back up with you, that's for sure.
Hey, man. Gosh, I know that a busy week last week. You were up in the air when we were doing our segment. We normally do our segment, but how was your week last week? Everything good?
Well, it was good. I mean, I flew to Berlin, Michigan. That's why I couldn't make it on the show last week. I flew up there. They had the big super late model race, the asphalt super late model race, Money in the Bank. Walked into the racetrack just in time for them to cancel because of the weather.
Gosh.
So, you know, it was one of those things. But met some folks up there and had a couple frosty cold beverages and made the best of a rainout.
Yeah.
And then Thursday flew out to California, did the West Coast Stock Car Motorsports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Jimmy Sills among the inductees there. So that was great. Friday night, went down to Watsonville and watched the King of the West NARC sprint cars, watched Corey Day pick up the win there in the Paul Silver Wrench number 57, and then Truck Series in ARCA West at Sonoma with Kyle Busch winning the Truck Series race on Saturday, and then flew home on Sunday. So, you know, other than the rain out in Berlin, it was a pretty good week, that's for sure.
That Corey Day, man, that kid's a wheel man.
My gosh. I mean, 16 years old.
Yeah.
He just picked up the ride. He just picked up the ride with the Paul Silva car, the number 57 car, Kevin Keselowski, I guess it is. Keselowski, I think it is.
Right.
He's the owner on it. Paul Silva's the wrench. He's got Jason Myers tutoring him, and his dad, Ronnie Day, is a pretty good shoe as well. So the kid has got some skills, and he's got a lot of people in his camp, that's for sure.
Yeah, when you got all those kind of people behind you with all that experience, it always increases your chance of success down the road, doesn't it? I mean, if you have any talent at all.
Yeah, absolutely, because between those individuals, they've all been there and done that.
Right.
And so they can help his learning curve drastically. And the thing of it is that they can help his learning curve and maybe minimize some mistakes. But then the kid has some natural talent as well. I had the chance to talk to his dad, Ronnie Day. And Ronnie was a solid racer out there, won the Trophy Cup, won a couple championships, was one of those guys who was always in the hunt, always did well, ran well. And, you know, first and foremost, he was a proud dad. Watching this boy wheel that 57 car to victory on Friday night. But, you know, but they're just working with him, 16 years old, taking their time. Taking their time is a weird thing to hear a 16-year-old say that, but
right.
Getting them in the right spot is the biggest thing. And that's when you tie up with guys like Jason Myers and Paul Silva, that's putting your son in the right spot for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Man, this has been a great week. If you're a big All-Stars fan, this has been one of the great weeks of racing. Danny Dietrich, he picked up the win at Attica. Parker Price Miller picked up the win at Fremont. And then it was Zeb Weiss at Fremont on the second night. And then Justin Peck, he picked up the win at Wayne County. And then last night, Christopher Bell picked up the win. What's your thoughts so far of Speed Week with the All-Stars?
It's been, five races, five faces, and you know, there's a couple of those. I mean, I think we have Justin Peck winning. I think we have PPM winning. You know, Danny Dietrich's been awful good over in Ohio. For him to launch and kick off on Friday night with that win, I think kind of set the tone. And then, you know, obviously Christopher Bell is a capable driver. It seems like they've got that Swindell car rolling along pretty good. So,
yeah.
I think, you know, Zeb Wise, I think is going to win races on a regular basis. So, you know, I think that, all capable drivers, all capable teams and for their respective nights, I think they got it done. I think what's interesting is we haven't had a Tyler Courtney win yet. Hunter Schoenberg hasn't won yet. You know, so there's a couple of the top guys over there that haven't won, but you know, tough to do when you have such a stout field. You know, it's easy to say you should win these races. Corey Eliason's another one that hasn't won, so
right.
But that's tough to do when you have that field of cars.
Right, no doubt about it. Who do you think? Christopher Bell. You put him in the 39 car, the Swindell car. They've had some bad luck along the way. You know what I mean? It seems like they've had some part failures, some issues with the car. And I know that they're very detailed on what they do to that car, but it seems like more times than not that they have a few little gremlins that kind of pop up with them on the 39 car sometimes.
Yeah, there's a couple of things going on there. I think they have some gremlins that pop up, and those are the things that you can't do anything about that are right. going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I think that happens, and it seems to happen a little bit more over there. Or maybe it stands out a little bit more because it's always a high-profile driver in that car. Yeah. So, you know, it's Christopher Bell. Darren Pittman has picked up the ride in that car. I think the biggest challenge they have, and I don't know that it's fixable with the way things are structured, is, you know, they'll go and they'll run two or three nights with the All-Stars in Central Pennsylvania, and then they'll sit out for 3 weeks. Right. And then they'll go run two or three nights of Ohio Speed Week. And Scott, you know, and you talk to these drivers, you've seen it on tour with the ASCS National Tour, and you've talked to drivers. You know, when you're not racing
full time,
other teams are racing and learning things.
Right.
You know, they're still learning stuff every time they go to the racetrack, and so it's tough to be a part timer and keep up. And then you're switching drivers around a little bit as well. So I think those are some of the challenges. I don't think that's like breaking news to Kevin and Jordan and everybody there that's going to be a challenge. I think that they do what they do, but I do think that's a challenge that adds another dynamic to it that makes it a little bit more difficult for them to roll into town and just start taking people's money.
And it's kind of the same thing goes for Buddy Kofoid as well, because he doesn't run 410 wing sprint cars that often, and he picked up a top five finish last night. But again, he's not a guy that runs a lot of 410 wing sprint car races.
No, he runs a lot more of the midget races. He likes running the 410s and wants to do more of it. But, you know, but you look at it, he's there running the middle of this week, but then on Friday he's flying to Knoxville and he's in the truck series race
mm-hmm.
at Knoxville driving for Kyle Busch.
Right.
So, again, you know, and Buddy Kofoid, I don't know that there's a more talented young racer that we have in the sport right now, but it's still difficult when you're not doing something night in and night out, the same thing night in and night out, with the same people night in and night out. This is a tough business right now.
Yeah.
It's really tough. The competition level, particularly in 410 sprint car racing, is through the roof. And it is challenging to get better. And I think that's what makes these guys that bounce in and out, whether it's the Swindell Speed Lab car, Christopher Bell, Buddy Kofoid. I'm even going to be interested to see as Larson runs some sprint car racing. I don't think the performance is quite where it was a couple of years ago with him running a partial schedule as well.
How much separation would you say there is between Buddy Kofoid, and I know that he lacks the experience that Kyle Larson has, but talent-wise, where would you rate those two? Would you rate those two drivers as the top two open-wheel drivers or maybe the most talented drivers that we see coming up through the pipe right now?
That's a good question, Scott. They're definitely in the top five and maybe even in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think that, you know, that Buddy Kofoid, I think Buddy Kofoid is the complete package, and it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this stacks up. So I might be able to put them top two, top three, for sure the top five. I think when you look around, and I think it's very early in the day, but we already talked about them. I want to see, you know, I want to see where we're at when Corey Day gets out traveling around and stretching his legs a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he might be in that same category as well. I know it's early, but the young man has done amazing things. And then we've just got some kids running midgets and micros, got kids like Brent Cruz and people like that that are nipping at their heels as well. So yeah, let's put Buddy and Kyle Larson at least two of the spots on the podium at this point. And we can debate a lot as far as the third person on that podium.
Yeah. You know, and you got to think about the young Ryan Timms as well. He's coming up through the pipes. He looks like he's got a lot of talent as well.
Yeah, we had him on Wing Nation yesterday, as a matter of fact, and chatted with him. And, you know, his biggest challenge is he's 15 years old, you know, and he turned 16 in August, and we'll see a lot of him after that. I think the family's headed to California where he can race more this summer. And then once he gets past the 16-year-old hurdle, we'll be able to see him run some World of Outlaws, some All-Star races. So his big hurdle, I talked to him at Millbridge a month or two ago, and I said, what's kind of your challenges? The challenges is finding racetracks. He could run Husitz. He could run St. Francis County and some MOA races. And he could run, I think, at Lincoln Speedway in Pennsylvania. But that age thing is holding him back. So I'm anxious to see where he goes, where Ryan Timms goes when we unleash him, which will be later this year, and see how he stacks up when he gets running some of these bigger tracks and with a bigger series, and see how he stacks up against some of those other drivers. The best example we have, the best sample that we have right now is Husetts.
Right.
And he's won up there. He finished fourth up there on Sunday night. He looks awful good winging around that place.
Yeah. Have you been watching any of the XR Super Series at Belleville this week, Steve?
I have not. I am. I do not. I watch a lot of dirt late model racing. In fact, I'm going to Cherokee Speedway tomorrow night to watch the Grassy Smith Memorial for the Lucas Oil Tour. But the XR Series, I've been doing Summer Shootout the last two nights.
Oh, okay.
Out of Charlotte Motor Speedway. We kicked that off for the U.S. Legends cars. And so I have had my plate full. I've watched a little bit of the highlights. I haven't watched the XR highlights. I've watched highlights of the All-Stars and some other things, the USAC races. But I found the whole Bellevue thing has been interesting with the big track and the move to the short track. You know, it's an interesting situation they had out there. It looked a little bit sketchy on that big track. And, you know, I thought Barry Braun, who's the guy that kind of runs that XR thing,
yep.
And the one comment he made on social media is, if nothing else, we're adaptable. And they certainly are that. And then to make that shift and to complete that program was impressive to see him do it. But it's just a different time and a different place. And I'm kind of like you. It's like, if you're going to Belleville, you know, it's the Belleville High Banks. I heard you and Austin talking beforehand. You kind of know that, but once they got there and started running around that place, I'm not sure who was all comfortable with it as well. So to me, the challenge is, what do you do going forward? Do you just scrap it? What do you do going forward? And I'll be anxious to see what they do as far as plans going in the future.
Jonathan Davenport said as much, that he'd rather run on the big track last night in one of his interviews that he did. He would prefer to be on the big track. I say this, if you're not going to run on the big track, just scrap the whole thing and don't go back there. That's kind of my take on it.
Yeah, I heard you and Austin talking, because when you think of Belleville, you don't think of the quarter mile.
Right.
You know, it's just not it's not the Belleville quarter mile. That's, you know,
right.
The attraction of Belleville has always been the half-mile track. And in complete honesty, the attraction of it is the speed. The attraction of it is, you know, the high-speed nature of it. And quite honestly, there's always the danger factor when you have that high-speed nature of it.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, and that's part of that is what Belleville is. And so to go out there and run on the quarter mile, there's probably other places we can go that, you know, maybe you don't have the safety concerns that you have at Belleville, but you have a little bit wider, bigger track, a little bit more racing room than that quarter mile gives you there at Belleville. So I think that this week they found themselves in a spot and they adapted. To me, it's like, I'm kind of with you on that. It's like, if you're going to run Belleville, run Belleville. Let's figure out a way to do it where everyone feels safe about it. If we don't get to that spot, then let's just figure out somewhere else to go run these cars.
It's the lure of the racetrack, right? The spectacle of speed and what the big track brings to motorsports. That's what everybody's after. Nobody wants to go watch a quarter mile race that on a track that's barely wide enough to run two late models side by side. I don't think anybody gets real excited about that, but I think a lot of people enjoy going to Belleville for the spectacle of speed. It might not always produce the best racing, but what you're going to see is the spectacle of speed, and I think a lot of people are intrigued by that, don't you think?
Yeah, I think certain places bring certain expectations.
Right.
You know, I think that when you go to Peavey, you expect to see Peavey type racing. I think when you go down to Little Rock,
right.
You expect to see, you know, Little Rock style racing. Likewise, I think when you go to Port Royal, or you go to Knoxville, or you go to West Virginia Motor Speedway, that big 5/8 mile up there in northern West Virginia, or you go to Belleville, I think when you go to a specific track, there is the appeal of that. I love a good quarter mile race. Now, Belleville, maybe not the best quarter mile racetrack to be on, to do that. It was very, very narrow, but there are some good quarter mile tracks that the late models go around really, really well. And so I think, I think that the places have reputations. Places have what your expectations are. You know, when you go into Little Rock, you know what you're going to have when you get there. Mm-hmm. And by gosh, they better deliver, and they do all the time. That's why Little Rock is such a popular and great racetrack. They do such a good job down there because they do Little Rock things. You don't go to Little Rock. You don't go to Little Rock and see Port Royal,
right?
You know, or you don't go to Port Royal and see Little Rock. When you go to Little Rock, you see a tight little bull ring with in-your-face racing. When you go to Port Royal, you see guys like Anthony Macri and Brett Marks and Lance DeWeese just banging those cars off the cushion. And I think the expectations are also what part of that is. And that's what made the Belleville thing weird, because the racing that was delivered on the second night did not match up with the expectations that you have when you go to a place like Belleville.
I concur. So let's talk a little bit of cup racing. We had Lee on Monday, and she said that the Daniel Suarez win at Sonoma might have been the biggest win in the last 20 years in NASCAR. Would you agree with that statement? I'm not sure I can agree with it, to be honest with you.
I'm not sure I agree with it. I'll put that up there. I think that's one of those we're going to have to stay tuned on. Okay.
Yep.
I think first and foremost, what Trackhouse has done, and I think they're to a degree Colic Racing as well. I think they have changed the model of ownership forever, or I think they will change the ownership of model and are changing the model of ownership forever. So I think that's one element of it. And for that second team to win here in their first season as a two-car team, with what Ross Chastain has done, I think that's significant, because Justin Marks has put together something totally different, and I think it'll revolutionize the sport. So I think Chastain getting two wins is one thing. I think the second team getting two wins is another. On the other front with that, as far as the Hispanic market goes, when they rolled out, Scott, I'll never forget this as long as I live. When we went to the Coliseum back in the end of January, February, whenever that was, and they were doing driver introductions, and they had the drivers walk down from the end of it, walk down through the Coliseum. And when they got to Daniel Suarez, he had a huge sombrero on. And when they announced his name, the place was vibrating. I mean, the Hispanic market, the market that he is delivering is significant when you look at it. Now, we don't see it in Kansas. We're not going to see it in Pocono that much.
Right.
But when we go to Homestead, when we go to Texas, when we go to Phoenix, when we go to California, it moves the needle. He is moving the needle. Now, I'm not sure I'm with Lee. That it's the biggest win in the last 20 years. I think you look back at Bubba Wallace in a similar platform, a minority driver getting a win. I think Bubba Wallace, if you're going to make the claim based on diversity, I think you can also talk about Bubba Wallace in the thing bringing Michael Jordan to victory lane in NASCAR. So I'm not sure I'm with Lee in that it was the number one win or the biggest win. I could go with top five, though, because I just think the way NASCAR is going here in 2022 and the diversity, the grandstands already look different than they did 5 years ago. And I say that 100% believing that is a good thing.
Yeah.
But the grandstands look different. And here's where it gets interesting. Suarez goes out and wins a couple more races. Then we'll see what this thing does and what the impact is. Because it's one thing to have a Mexican driver, a Hispanic driver win a race. It's another thing to have them go out and be a contender and a title contender. And I think at that point we see maybe more of what this is. But I'm still not sure I'm with Lee that it's the biggest win. I think that I think there's some cases that can be made for other races as well.
It's a pretty broad statement when you say that in the last 20 years. There's a lot of wins that stand out along the way. But you know what I like, Steve, is when I look at the top of the sheet at the end of these races in the Cup Series now, you never know who you're going to see at the top. Like this week, you saw Daniel Suarez, Christopher Buescher, Michael McDowell. You know, having those three guys at the top doesn't that inject a little enthusiasm to some of the smaller teams, you know, like a Justin Haley's team or any one of the teams that are out there that are running that are a little more on a lower level? I don't mean that with disrespect, but they don't have the finances that some of these other teams have. And when I see Daniel Suarez, Christopher Buescher, Michael McDowell in the top three, that makes me happy.
I'm going to correct one thing you said. You said it injects a little bit of optimism. No, it injects a lot of optimism.
Yep.
That's the only thing I'm going to correct you on, because it does. We are at such a neat spot with the sport right now. And we're watching this. We're watching Trackhouse Racing has three wins this season. We've seen that call-up car. We've seen Justin Haley up at the front of the field. We've seen Tyler Reddick at the front of the field nearly winning things. And RFK. I mean, face it, the bottom line of it is this is Roush, Fenway, Keselowski Racing.
Right.
But this has not been a premier team for years and years and years. It's been a good team, but it's not been a premier team. Well, here they are running second spot with Chris Buescher. And the one that I really am just blown away by is the Front Row Motorsports team. I don't think it's really a shocker when you see Michael McDowell finish run well on a road course. What I think is really impressive with that team is they're backing up a top 10 finish at Gateway with a great run on the road course.
Right, right.
You know, so they're stacking some things together. I think when you look at JTG Doherty Racing, now their short track program and the road course racing, road crest program is not good, but their intermediate program is top 10, maybe top 5. And so they look at it. So when you take this and you look at where we're at specifically in the calendar year, we're taking this weekend off. The Cup Series is off. We have 10 races to the playoffs. 10 races to the playoffs. Three of them are on road courses, and two of them are on super speedway type tracks, Atlanta and Daytona. So you're Michael McDowell. You're Front Row Motorsports.
Right.
You're Brad Keselowski, who is great on super speedway races, and that team is really good on road courses. You know, go down the list and see it. And it's just fascinating to me what we're going to see here in these 10 races because of the diversity of the track and some of these teams being able to find these niches. JTG Doherty finding the niche of intermediate tracks. What do they do when they go to Nashville and Michigan? You know, can that be a team? Can Ricky Stenhouse Jr. get up there and win a race? He finished second at Dover on concrete. We're going to Nashville. What can he do there?
Yeah.
And so that's been the fun part about this season is usually at this point in the year, we are talking about Team Penske versus Joe Gibbs Racing versus Hendrick Motorsports.
Yeah.
Maybe Stuart Haas is in the conversation, maybe not. But we're generally talking about those teams. This year, it's all over the map. I mean, this year you look, you just don't know what to expect. And to me, I think that's what's driving a lot of the excitement and energy around the sport is we just don't know what's coming next. I mean, who had that top three on Sunday afternoon at Sonoma?
Right.
I mean, seriously, who had that top three?
Right.
I don't think, you know, that's a long shot at best.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the top 17 finishers. All of them were Ford or Chevrolet. Is Toyota a little concerned right now?
Well, that's a great topic because 2 weeks ago, all of the conversation was, looks like Toyota's found their speed.
Yeah,
you know, Denny Hamlin goes to Charlotte and wins.
Right.
They're pretty good at they're pretty good on the intermediate tracks. They're rolling along well. Kurt Busch goes out to Kansas and wins. So I think that we talked about some of the teams finding these little niches. I think Toyota's got a couple of elements that they need to work on. I think the road course stuff obviously needs to work on when your best finisher is 18th.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's Joe Gibbs Racing and 2311 Racing, and their best finish is 18th. I think their short track program needs a little work. But when we get to the intermediate tracks, they found some speed. And so it's very spotty. And honestly, isn't it spotty for everybody? Usually, Scott, at this time of the year, I mean, remember last year we had Kyle Larson, 5 or 6 wins at this point. The year before that, Kevin Harvick, 5 or 6 wins at this point. The year before that, it was Denny Hamlin, had all those wins. This year, the most wins anyone has is 2. So it's very spotty, very sporadic. So sitting here today, is Toyota concerned? Yes. In 3 weeks, we might be sitting here saying, man, Toyota figured that out in a hurry. Right. I just think that's the nature of where we're at and the challenges of this car and the diversity of the racetracks and everything. And it certainly, and I think that's part of what keeps it fun and has made this year so much, so entertaining, is you've got the Toyotas that are clubbing each other for the win one week, and you've got them barely scratching into the top 20 the next week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Steve, we always appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports, man. We always appreciate that time. I know you're a busy man. You're always doing something. What are you going to do tonight? What are you going to do?
I'm going out to Millbridge tonight to watch the 600 Micros. So I did summer shootout the last two nights for the Legends and Bandoleros. I'm going out to Millbridge tonight to watch the Micros, and then tomorrow night I'm going to watch the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Models at out at Cherokee Speedway in Gaffney, South Carolina. Scott, that's the place your mama warned you about. Great little red clay dirt track over there. Friday, I'm flying to Knoxville. I'll be there Friday night for some truck series practice. MRN coverage on a Saturday night of the truck race at Knoxville. So a pretty good week coming up.
I think Deidre and I are going to come up to Knoxville this weekend, so we'll have a beer together. All right, bud?
Absolutely. I would love that. That'd be great to catch up for sure.
All right, Steve. Thanks again for taking the time. We appreciate you.
You got it. Thanks.
All right, there you have it. Steve Post, the Postman, joining us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum and our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. We want to remind everybody that the track tribute to Ascot Park is going on right now as we speak up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's going to go through October 1st. You can see seven or eight open wheel cars that raced at Ascot Park over the years, and that place was in Gardena, California. They're also going to have videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia from Ascot Park. So get up there. If you're going to go up and watch the truck race this weekend, take a little visit, walk over around turn two, and go over and visit the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And while you're there, why don't you purchase a raffle ticket for the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. That is a mouthful right there, folks. But all you need to know, it's an IMSA Corvette, and they only made, this is one of 1,000 of these Corvettes that were made. They didn't make a lot of these cars. I saw one online the other day. It was selling for $150,000. So just think what that could do for you. If you were to go up there, buy a ticket for the raffle, and win the car, it'd be like putting $100,000, $150,000 in your pocket. How cool would that be? That would be awesome. And don't forget, this weekend, as you know, this Saturday, June 18th, they're going to have the truck series race is going to be running up there. And if you'd like to sit on the second floor of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can do that for a low cost of $80. And let me tell you, folks, you can bring your food in there. You can bring your drinks in there. You can buy a pizza across the street from Casey's, bring it in there and carry it in if you'd like to. Or you could go over to the Rib Shack next door, buy some ribs, carry them up to the second floor. You can bring your own adult beverage in there if you'd like. It's a great atmosphere and a great view of the racetrack. And you can get in there on the second floor for a little price of $80, folks. You know, it works out so well because that way you don't have to go to the concession stand, spend a bunch of money buying food at the concession stand. You can bring your own food right into the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And we also want to remind everybody that the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, folks. Every day of the year it is open except for Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, and New Year's Day. Those are the only days that it's not open. So if you'd like to go to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you could do so. And also we want to remind everybody that they still have the drawing going on for the 2022 Triple X chassis. It's a 410 sprint car. They're going to be raffling off on Friday, December 16th. That's during the Knoxville Nationals. And if you'd like to sign up and take a chance on winning that sprint car, you can do so at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. It's a 2022 Triple X chassis. It's got a 410 motor in it. It is a great, great opportunity for somebody to end up with a sprint car. So if you go up there, make sure that you tell Bob Baker that you heard it on the Racing Boys on Mostly Motorsports. All right, Austin. So I know what you're doing this weekend. You're going to race down at Double X Speedway. There's $2,000 to win race down there. You looking forward to that?
Yes. I always look forward to, we like to call it the Dusty Double. That's just what everybody knows it by, and it's becoming one of my more favorited places to go race. It's something that's, you know, it's out of the normal down here. You know, you don't see tight quarter miles, and you know, you don't you don't always see trees and hanging across the backstretch wall. You know, they always say
you got some leaves there last
year. Yeah, they always say, you know, if you're going good at Double X, you'll bring home a couple tree branches and leaves on your top wing. And I must have been doing pretty good.
Why wouldn't they trim that up?
I don't know. Well, actually, the wing speed takes care of most of it, but you'll catch the patches where they fall down. But we must have been doing pretty good at Jesse's Memorial Race because I brought home a couple leaves. But no, I just wish it paid more on weekly shows. We'd be down there pretty much every week then. But
2,000 wins pretty good money though.
It's good, but yeah. You know, weekly shows pay 1,000, so it just doesn't make sense to make it a weekly show for us.
Should we save this for tomorrow to talk about the amount of money that some of these races run? Should we do that tomorrow so that way we can spend a little more time on it?
Yeah, that's good with me.
Yeah, all right.
I hate to bring it up.
Well, bring it up.
I didn't want to. Not something I want to talk about or I like talking about.
Well, go ahead. That's what this show's all about.
But with it talking about Belleville, today would have been Brian Clausen's 33rd birthday.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. It's always cool.
Today's his birthday.
Yes, 33rd. It's cool because his birthday is the day before mine. So he was my favorite sprint car driver, and to say that, you know, we almost share the same birthday is pretty cool.
Hmm. Well, that's a kind of a bummer note to end the show on.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be right to
not
go about
say it,
yeah,
right?
Not mention it.
Right, right. Well, you know, who knows how far Brian Clausen would have went in motorsports, right? I mean, he made a couple of IndyCar starts at the Indianapolis 500. Maybe not the finishes that he was wanting, but still, I think he had all the talent in the world. And that was a sad day, the day that we heard that of his passing. That's all.
Yeah,
he's
the only one that can say he's led the 100th lap at the 100th Indy 500. So, yeah, he might not have had the most glamorous IndyCar career at the Speedway, but he can hold a pretty cool stat to his name.
If he would have had good equipment, I think that he would have done better.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But even what he had, he did pretty well.
Yeah. Also thinking about Brian Brown's grandpa, who is going to be going through triple bypass surgery tomorrow. So, George, we're thinking about you, buddy. I'm thankful that Frog Hall tuned in and said that. So we're thinking about George tomorrow. Hopefully everything goes well for him and he comes out of there like a new man and feeling better than ever. So good luck to you tomorrow, George. All right. Well, that's it for today, folks. We hope that you enjoyed the show. We're going to be doing it all over again tomorrow, and we hope that you'll join us here at 12 noon Central Time. It's Mostly Motorsports, and it's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Kirk Elliott, for Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traylor. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports again, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum and our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.